Radio Daily for not Monday, and yet another day for you to watch the first episode of the Harley Quinn cartoon. Yay! It's fun. It's bemusing. It'll make you chortle. All kinds of fun stuff. Welcome to the 3rd of December. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, it's from all kinds of crazy places. It's just the kind of thing we do, you know, and running our mouths and the whatnots and stuff. The folks that are bringing the tea today, well, the man who, even though it's not quite the weekend, is still in weekend time, as people say to him, that there's podcasting Rich Siegfried.
You still drunk?
Whoa. Let's keep it, and it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm not going to tell anyway. I always keep your secrets. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
This isn't what it looks like.
Ice Bear won't judge. How loud?
What happened this fine day, sir?
The 1621 Galileo perfects his telescope.
1833, Oberlin College in Ohio becomes the first co-ed institution of higher learning in the United States, with 15 women and 29 men enrolled, 14 of which were killed a week later.
1896, Dr. Herman Hollerith incorporated the Tabulating Machine Company, the predecessor of the later International Business Machines, IBM, to manufacture and sell the sorting machine he had invented.
1904, the Jovian moon Himalaya is discovered by Charles Dillion Perrine at California's Lick Observatory.
Astronomy, you nasty. 1910, neon lights are first used publicly at the Paris Auto Show.
1922, the first successful Technicolor film, The Toll of the Sea, is released to theaters in New York City. Turns out, it was about Tree Fitty.
1937, The Dandy, the world's longest-running comic strip, is first published. While The Dandy is in no way, shape, or form geeky, its unprecedented popularity greatly contributed to proliferation of comic strips in the early half of the century.
Without that, there's no Garfield without Garfield. 1947, the point contact transistors invented by researchers John Bardeen and Walter Hauser Bertin, working under physicist William Bradford Shockley at Bell Laboratories. Transistors will go on to replace vacuum tubes and mark the beginning of the second generation of computers.
Of course, 3 weeks later, they went obsolete. In 1952, the first television broadcast in Hawaii is transmitted.
1964, police arrest over 800 students at the University of California, Berkeley, in the course of a sit-in at the administration building in protest of the region's decision to forbid protests on campus property. The event marks the beginning of the free speech movement. It's also the largest mass arrest in U.S. history.
Well, how else are you going to tell people what you think?
Dexter Riley would not be silenced.
Yeah. 1968, the Control Data Corporation, or CDC, announces the CDC 7600 supercomputer. Oh, so not that CDC. Many years later, it's considered as the first true supercomputer.
No vacuum tubes there. 1973, the NASA spacecraft Pioneer 10 becomes the first probe to reach Jupiter and the first probe to perform a flyby of an outer planet.
1984, the worst industrial accident in history occurs when methyl isocyanate, MIC, leaks from one of the storage tanks of a Union Carbide pesticide factory to kill thousands of people in Bhopal, India.
1994, Sega releases Sega 32X, also known as the Sega CD in North America, an add-on for the Sega Mega Drive video game console.
And of course, same day, same year, Sony Computer Entertainment was not done as they introduced the PlayStation video game console, also in Japan.
1996, Konami releases the Justifier Light Gun as a new licensed peripheral for the PlayStation console. It is similar in shape to a Colt Python. Its realistic shape and the realistic violence of the games for which it can be used will cause controversy in the U.S. media and government, who still hadn't gotten over Night Trap, you babies.
1998, the Rio Portable Player is released to stores by Diamond Multimedia in the midst of industry-wide concerns that MP3 compression technology that allows CD-quality music to be sent over the internet may lead to music piracy.
Good thing that never happened. 1999, NASA loses radio contact with the Mars Polar Lander moments before the spacecraft enters the atmosphere of Mars. The loss of communication will later be attributed to a computer bug and not the damn Martians who were splashing in the pool.
I like getting wet. 2,000 astronauts aboard the Space Shuttle Endeavour attached the world's largest, most powerful set of solar panels to the International Space Station.
2001, Nintendo releases the fighting game Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube in the U.S.
2002, in the U.S., President George W. Bush signs a piece of legislation called the .Kids Implementation and Efficiency Act of 2002. The law is to create a kidsafe.kids domain, kids.us, which would be implemented in 2003. I'm currently on my work laptop and am afraid to try to type that in.
2004, after a brief demonstration phase in November, the English beta version of Wikinews is launched. Wikinews is meant to be a free news source that allows anyone to report news stories, which is why most of them are about that bitch down the street who won't turn off her radio.
I believe it's now called Facebook. 2007, AT&T announces that it plans to exit the rapidly shrinking payphone business.
Oh, no! Colin Farrell's going to do a sequel? 2014, the Japanese space agency JAXA launches the Space Explorer Hayabusa 2 from the Tanegashima Space Center on a 6-year round-trip mission to an asteroid to collect rock samples.
I want a rock sample!
Birthdays?
Michael Angarano, 32, from Sky High and Forbidden Kingdom.
Amanda Seyfried is 34, from Veronica Mars, Mean Girls, Jennifer's Body, Red Riding Hood, A Million Ways to Die in the West, that one movie I don't know the name of.
Out of Time, which should have been better than it was.
True.
Dasha Polanco, 37, from Orange is the New Black.
Jenna Dewan is 39, from American Horror Story, Witches of East End, and Lucy Lane in Supergirl.
Anna Chlumsky, 39, from Uncle Buck, My Girl, and Veep.
Brendan Fraser is 51 years of age, from Encino Man, Airheads, The Mummy, Dudley Do-Right, Escape from Planet Earth, and Doom Patrol.
And if you really want to see him in a weird way, Passion of Darkly Noon. Just check that out. But I celebrate Brendan Fraser.
Even Monkey Bone?
I have not actually seen Monkey Bone.
Okay.
So maybe not his entire catalog. Julianne Moore, 59. Tales from the Dark Side of the Movie, The Fugitive, Lost World, Jurassic Park, Psycho, Hannibal, Children of Men, Hunger Games, of course, The Big Lebowski.
Daryl Hannah is 59 years of age, from Blade Runner, Clan of the Cave Bears, Splash, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, that's the remake, Kill Bill, Sense 8, because Senses 1 through 7 just didn't work.
Heather Menzies, 70, from Sound of Music, Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, and Piranha.
Cool, two Dexter Riley references in one show. No longer with us, born this date in 1616, John Wallace, credited with introducing the symbol for infinity.
He was just really late. He was coming up with, he couldn't come up with anything at all, so he just knocked an 8 over and was like, eh, good enough.
That works.
1842, Charles Alfred Pillsbury founded the Pillsbury Company, a man who was also written up entirely too many times by the HR department for walking around and randomly poking people in the tummy.
In 1922, Len Lesser, from How to Stuff a Wild Bikini, Supervan, The Werewolf Reborn, but you best know him as Uncle Leo on Seinfeld.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS, FBI, and NCIS NO.
Over on ABC, Brad Paisley thinks he's special. Then the CMA Country Christmas.
NBC has Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, How to Train Your Dragon Homecoming, live top 10 eliminations on the new The Voice, and Making It.
This time in life, I'm saying hi, Carol. Fox has a new resident, and then Hakeem expresses certain concerns regarding alterations that Lucius made to the Empire film script on A New Empire. Apparently, they're doing a movie.
CW, The Last Temptation of Barry Allen, Part 2, on a new The Flash and a new Arrow.
Freeform, Home Alone, watch a young boy torture adults.
AMC has National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
FX has Hidden Figures, like an 8 sideways, huh?
Ah, that's like a smart movie. FXX Simpsons Marathon with Blood Feud, When Flanders Failed, and Bart the Murderer.
FXM has This Man is on Fire.
IFC, just in time for the holiday, Independence Day.
Nice. BBC America has Jack Frost, but sadly not the killer snowman one. Yeah, the scary
Paramount
one.
Paramount Network, all bark and no bite on a new Ink Master.
Sundance has Star Trek. That's the 2009 version, so Chris Pine's in it. I'm ready.
I like it. Siffy has Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
TBS, If My Grandmother Was Hot, I'd Go for Her Too on a new episode of the Misery Index.
Just in general, or do you want to throw the word that in there?
No,
it completely changes the concept of it. TNT has basketball.
USA has new WWE SmackDown. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network, because after New York's psychotic fashion photographer transforms a nerdish high school student into an attractive model, who becomes a popular student at his school, she becomes obsessed with him and is ultimately led to homicidal madness.
Oh, no.
Jamie Luner and Joshua Hoffman star in Designed to Kill.
The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad works the system to free a single mother named Gabby, accused of running down a jogger while she just chit-chatting on her cell phone. At least it wasn't Candy Crush. Meanwhile, Stefan does his best to help a man who is down on his luck. Because Stefan has been down on his luck a time or two. In fact, he's had two identical peaks of luck so bad it robbed him of his total security, and the only thing that would help him is by getting into better shape. Well, according to his gymnasium, it would. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Hi again, geeks. I don't know what combination of characters I accidentally hit that sent an unfinished email. That's really bad coding. I know people with physical disabilities need keyboard shortcuts that JAWS can use, but for the purpose, a combo of three keys is just as usable. Anyway, as I was saying, the Desert Bus for Hope volunteers were discussing clam juice.
What do you have to do to get a clam juice?
So it's the liquid you get from boiling them? Isn't that just broth?
Clamato is a very Canadian thing, and it's just tomato juice made thinner by combining with clam juice.
How is that still juice?
By that logic, if you heat up grape juice, is it grape soup?
I went for a walk to a Kroger, but couldn't remember more. And they finally cracked everyone up with, by that logic, raisins are just grape jerky. Hope you and all the fellow listeners enjoyed that. That is from Bill. Well, grape jerky, I've never thought of it that way. Now I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Tell you, you know who my favorite boxer is?
Who's that?
Jay Clamato.
If you can out-pun foo that, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could always tell us in a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
Keep it punny.
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Brent Barrett.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
The Viewer's Guide to Genre Television.
Welcome, everyone, to a special Supernatural-focused bonus
Hello, everyone,
show.
And welcome to The Fae-Files,
a family of podcasts for the genre-loving television viewer.
Welcome to Saturday B Movie Reel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Study
welcome
Group.
Welcome to the Top Genre Characters of All Time Countdown.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones Season 3.
Find us at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Hey, guys. It's Jason David. Frank the Green Ranger, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Yeah, you are. And at any moment, if Tommy needs help, you've got to be ready to go out there and help him.
It's okay. Morphine time.
There you go.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
You know you do. What's out today, sir?
On our TV aisle, we've got Game of Thrones Season 8.
Or, if you want more, Game of Thrones The Complete Series.
How to Train Your Dragon, Homecoming.
I don't understand why is he fighting the vulture? I don't understand. Why are the dragons? She-Ra and the Princess of Power Seasons 1 through 3, that's the new show.
On classic television, we've got Teen Titans, the complete series.
Notice that's not Teen Titans Go, so you're safe. Documentary department, Raise Hell, the life and times of Molly Ivins.
I don't know who that is, but I guess I should watch it to find out. Must be anime based on title alone. K-On! Ultimate Collection.
Tsukigakuriya, the complete series.
I think I got that once and a doctor cleared it up for me. Mehi Tokyo Renka, the complete series. I may have thrown some Spanish in there.
Jake Speed.
She.
Watch Kevin Costner drink pee in Waterworld.
Dry land is not a myth. Konga.
And the criminally underseen Slaughterhouse-Five.
From our regular movies section, we've got The Goldfinch.
Ready or not.
Watch that this weekend. It was a delight. Really enjoyed it. The Parts You Lose.
Killer Man, which either means he kills men or he's Killer Man. Superhero. That's not superhero.
I think that's called Punisher. Bennett's War.
Tony Bennett? Who's he fighting now? Buttons, A Christmas Tale.
Unless it's one of the characters from the Animaniacs, I don't want to watch it. Portals.
How are the cakes, though? Tonight, though, we're getting the story of Jack Hunter, who's abducted, blindfolded, to a Turkish U.S. base to be recruited by the NSA, told his mentor was killed because Albert Lippman's Russian mob employer, Doradanov, wants the ancient Osiris weapon. He accepts to go look for the other part in Giza, where archaeologist Lena Hallstrom has dug up a lead on a site which was attacked by a mysterious, mythologically cloaked man. Ivan Sergei, Joanne Kelly, and Thure Riefenstein starring Jack Hunter. The quest for Akintine's tomb.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Melania Marchetti's young adult novel, On the Jellicoe Road, is being adapted for TV by Germany's ZDF Enterprises, Australia's Warner Film, and Wild Sheep Content, the fledgling producer formed by Eric Barmack, Netflix's former head of international originals.
It's a long way down the Jellicoe Road.
Australian author Marchetti's book was first published in 2006 in Australia, published in the U.S. in 2008 with the shortened title Jellicoe Road.
Glad they dropped it. On the really confuses me.
The story centers on 17-year-old Taylor Markham, leader of a boarding school underground community, abandoned by her mother when she was 11 and with little recollection of her father. The only adult influence in her life is her mentor and guardian, Hannah, who suddenly vanishes. There's also a territory war going on between the boarders, the kids from the local town, and a group of cadets training locally.
It's a live ammo chocolate war. And those kids have really seen some chip.
Joanna Warner, executive producer at Warner Film Publications, said On the Jellicoe Road is an enthralling, sophisticated, complex, and gripping teen story which I can't wait to see on the screen. You will get to see the awesomeness soon. Me personally, though, I found out long ago. Whoa.
Andrew Giant Waffle Bodine set a world record by streaming himself playing video games for 570 hours.
He played Desert Bus 63 times?
Obviously, like any world record attempt these days, in pretty much any field, participants are allowed a certain period of rest so as not to physically endanger themselves.
Casual.
Over 30 days, Bodine completed a 19-hour stream every single day, resulting in a total of 572 hours broadcast.
34,320 minutes of gaming.
Previous streaming records include Jay Biggs, no relation to that pie f***er, Jason Biggs, 569 hours. It's Armand's, 566 hours, no relation to Armand DeSante. Edison Park's, 541 hours, oddly enough, related to Park overall. And Zizarin's 506.5 hours, and, you know, never mess with the Zizarin. Some of the games Bodine played during the marathon were Red Dead Redemption 2, Luigi's Mansion 3, Escape from Tarkov, Rocket League, Factorio, and Rainbow Siege. He also played the entirety of Death Stranding, taking just over 30 hours to finish it.
Oh, that's the game where you get Death out of the car, then drive away real quick, right? And then you're stuck running his errands for an eternity.
Surprisingly, yeah, no, actually, that's, yeah. Bodine spent months training for the run, adjusting his circadian rhythm to let him grab the precious few hours of sleep he needed between streams to complete the 30 days.
Surprised he could sleep with that damn light left on for everybody.
If you're wondering why he'd subject himself to something like this, which is not only brutal on a personal level, but also representative of a wider problem of grind.
That's hard for him to deal with, because like most Bodines, he wants to be closer to free.
And now that the record is his, he tweeted, "I love sleep."
Miss Hathaway has missed him.
But don't sleep too hard. A challenger is currently ready to claim the title.
Oh, Billy Mitchell always has a plan.
Player 2 has been accused of cheating.
I can hear some of you saying, what a waste of time.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
But this brings fame and maybe fortune. It's not like he did something really stupid.
Like play the co-op Superman for the 2600?
Well, actually, really stupid is a man in China who spent $1.4 million on his character in the Morpig Justice Online.
Justice is not for sale, but it is available for delivery.
Incredibly stupid is his buddy who accidentally sold that very character for $552. And now the man has filed a lawsuit against the game company NetEase and his friend.
A former friend, you mean?
The defendant had been loaned the character and reportedly tried to sell it back to the man for $55,138, but instead, he accidentally wrote 552 on NetEase's in-game marketplace and was soon purchased by another unrelated player. During the court mediation that followed, the defendant claimed the shockingly low price was due to a typo induced by exhaustion after a marathon gaming session.
My typos only lead me to ordering two peaches instead of one to enjoy during a movie I accidentally rented 13 or 14 times.
The suit was settled by a judge who mediated the proceeding online. In the settlement, NetEase canceled the sale transaction, and while the plaintiff got his $1.4 million investment back, he had to pay $12,789 in damages to the player who bought the character on the cheap.
Well, when you spend $1.4 mil on a character, what's 13K?
I might have paid that much just to see Judge Judy try not to have her head explode during this case.
Researchers previously estimated the mass of an individual black hole in our galaxy at no more than 20 times that of the sun. But a team of international scientists spotted a stellar black hole 3.5 times greater than anyone thought possible.
Never underestimate the power of suck.
Yeah, it's actually on my family crest. Jifeng Liu, a professor at the National Astronomical Observatory of China, or NAOC, of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, alongside collaborators from Australia, China, Italy, and the Netherlands, Poland, Spain, and the U.S., Liu helped uncover a monster black hole 70 times more massive than the sun.
Sheesh, ease up, man. We all put on a few at Thanksgiving.
Black holes of such mass should not even exist in our galaxy, according to most of the current models of stellar evolution, he said in a statement. We thought the very massive stars with the chemical composition typical of our galaxy must shed most of their gas and powerful stellar winds as they approach the end of their life, Liu explained. Therefore, they should not leave behind such a massive remnant.
I don't think they understand the gravity of the situation.
Until recently, stellar black holes could be seen only when they gobbled up gas from a companion star, creating powerful X-ray emissions detectable from Earth. But because the vast majority of black holes are not that hungry, and don't emit revealing X-rays, only about 24 space-time regions have been identified and measured.
This sounds like a job for Inspector Space-Time!
To circumvent this problem, Liao and company used China's Large Sky Area Multi-Object Fiber Spectroscopic Telescope, LMOST, for a needle-in-a-haystack search for stars orbiting an invisible object pulled by its gravity. To everyone's surprise, they found something. Located some 15,000 light-years from Earth, the so-called LB1 black hole is more than 3 times as massive as expected.
Mass hole, if you will.
Scientists use the world's largest optical telescopes, Spain's Gran Telescopio Canarias and the U.S.'s Keck-1, to determine the system's physical parameters. The results were shocking. A star 8 times heavier than the sun, orbiting a 70 solar mass black hole every 79 days. This discovery forces us to re-examine our models of how stellar mass black holes form. According to David Reitz, director of the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, or LIGO, they'll be publishing a book about their findings soon, and when it comes out, you can get it. And I promise you it will be immediately, completely absorbing. Crap, I mean, you'll get sucked in. Damn it. Oh, terrible jokes today.
And now we are sad to inform you that an era has concluded, as Toonami has revealed the death of Tom 5 through the latest episode of its original series, The Forge.
So that disease-carrying rodent Jerry finally won.
In the event series' 4th episode, Tom 5 made the ultimate sacrifice to save the other Tom robots from being killed. Tom 5 is seen fighting off enemy alien forces as he orders AI fairy Sarah to prepare his ship for departure without him. He suffers a grief outcome as he professes his love for Sarah.
Starship had better songs.
After the episode aired, Toonami co-creator Jason DeMarco penned a farewell tweet from the programming blog's longtime host. Tom 5 served for a long time, he wrote. He took some hits along the way, too. I'll miss Battle Damage Tom. He was a good'un. DeMarco followed his words with an image of the battle-weary Tom 5 and a salute for the robot service.
Tom Servo poured out a cup of RAM chips in his honor.
This means that Tom has lost not just his life, but his job as the host of Toonami. Tom 5 curated and introduced all the content featured on Adult Swim's anime-themed Saturday Night Programming block, the latest in a line of various Tom models. Tom 5 made his debut as part of Toonami's latest revamp in 2013. Toonami confirms it will begin in 2020 with both a new look and a new host.
Yeah, but now they'll probably get some lame robot like Tweaky, Tilk, or Polly's robot butler.
The 2020 revamp will only be the latest in Toonami's history. The programming block originally launched in 97, ran up until 2008. In 2012, Toonami was relaunched as part of Cartoon Network's nightly Adult Swim block. Along the way, various different iterations of Tom have served as a host, and it looks like another is just around the corner. So goodbye, Tom 5, and get ready, because Toonami is just going to upgrade, and the host is simply going to be Tom, and Tom again. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. If no one told you, knowing, you know, affirmations and sayings will really help you understand the completely stupid jokes that we try to write you. Huh? Come on. It's a helpful thing. Basically, I'm saying read more Benjamin Franklin and you'll understand this show. Drop us a note, would you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD.
And we'll be seeing you.
That was lame.
It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad?
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Good night, suckers.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Looking for this?
Who are you?
Vic Stone. Some people call me Cyborg. Here to help.
Nice eye. You're in my way.
What's with the donkey?
It sent us a message. Been chasing this flea bag all morning. Well, some kind of secrets or some shit.
I saw footage of you and your pals messing up that diner. Want to explain how you managed to obliterate the rest of the town?
Oh, Cyborg! The guy who nobody asked to be here, who pokes his nose into business that ain't his? Hi!
You must be one of Now's strays.
You know the chief?
I do.
Why didn't you say you know the chief?
Because watching you try to be effective is real distracting. Where is he?
He's gone. Ground opened up. Swallowed him and the whole town. Our housemaid Jane tried to save him. Now she's gone too.
Sorry. I just need a second just to...
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah.
Get this straight. How does a band of circus freaks manage to screw up so badly that they lose their leader and the whole entire town at the same damn time?
Hey, Monday morning QB. I don't feel good about it either.
Did you see who made the hole?
I was busy not getting swallowed by it.
Where's the hole now?
It swallowed itself.
Did you see anything useful?
Yes, damn it! The donkey!
What's the donkey got to do with it?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, asshole!